Good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. And this being the first Sunday of the month, it's birthday time. So let's see if I can miss anybody. Diane Smith, September the 1st. Bobby Williams, September the 1st. Karen Linker, September the 6th. Christopher Barbie, September the 11th. Tonda Hamilton, September the 12th. You gonna be 37 or 38? Ruth Eford, September the 13th. David Talley, September the 14th. He's more white-headed than I am, I believe. Carson Barbie, September the 23rd. Hudson Snyder, September 28th. Aaron Triplett, September the 30th. And then anniversaries, Lionel and Tamara Hahn, September the 5th. Anybody I missed? Okay, if you'd lead us in singing Happy Birthday. We do welcome you here this morning, those that are in the sanctuary, those that might be in the parking lot, those that listen later on the website. Got lots of folks on vacation, this being sort of the last big vacation weekend, but you're here, and the Lord's here. So you and the Lord make a majority. Amen. And if you and the Lord are here, and he speak, and we open our ears spiritually, he'll speak to us. And he'll use us for his honor and for his glory. So thank you for coming today. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the awesome, awesome presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know every heart today, Lord. You know every need. And Father, we just pray that the Spirit of God would come and speak. We'd have spiritual ears to hear. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts. That in our singing, we truly will worship you. In our preaching, we will learn from your word. And Lord, we pray for those that are ordinarily with us but are out today. We lift them up. That today you'll bless them, that you'll encourage them. You'll give them refreshing time to be with family. And Father, we pray that you'll restore them added spiritual strength to serve you in the days to come. Most of all, Father, we want to tell you we love you. We love Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great, great, great three in one, our Lord, our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, let's all join together and do Rescue the Perishing this morning. I think Jeff has us on the screens, and it's 559 in your books. If you're like me, you prefer looking at the book because it's harder to get all that sometimes. We'll do all four verses. Stand with me. 559.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying.
Again, we welcome you. Remind you, Wednesday night, our Bible study. And then, if you'll notice, in the bulletin, choir practices on the 2nd and 4th, which will be September the 11th and the 25th at 7:30. And then the youth and the adult church training will be on the 15th and the 22nd from 5 to 7, and the church training from 5:30 to 6:30. Also, if you remember, September is the month that we do our North Carolina Baptist Mission offering, and so much of that goes to disaster relief. We have those teams that travel all over, really all over at least the eastern half of the United States, and sometimes they go other places. I know they went to the Ukraine when that war first brought out, came about, and they feed and take care of needs. So I encourage you to give well to this offering. It's and part of it comes back to the Standing Baptist Association to be used for missions projects of the association. So I encourage you to give well to this offering. Other announcements we need to make.
Pastor, Brenda and I made a choice to leave the envelopes out today since we don't have as many people, and we'll put the mission offering envelopes and prayer thing in next Sundays when there are more people.
So okay.
Envelopes there.
All right. Sunday. And you've got all of September to give to the missions offering. All right.
And that'll be at 7 o'clock, and it'll last through the entire month of September. The only times that they're not going to be having services is on Wednesday night and Sundays.
All right. All right. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Prayer requests. Of course, there's a long list on the back of the bulletin. Are there others that we need to remember? Anyone else?
I think my brother is having a heart attack this week.
Okay.
On the 5th.
All right.
Family is speaking.
All right. And I think Tony had to go to the ER one night this week, so and he's still recovering, so pray for Tony and Ruth. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Fathers, we bow before you. Sometimes our minds stagger at trying to remember all of the people that have needs. Some of them minor, some of them serious. And Father, we lift up to you every need that's on the back of the bulletin, every need that was mentioned around the sanctuary. And Father, we know that most all of us have needs that are people that we know that we have needs that we didn't mention, but they may be scattered all over the world. But Father, I thank you that you're an omniscient God who knows it all. Jesus promised us that if even a little sparrow fell, you were aware of it. And so, Father, you're aware of all the hurts, all the pain, all the questions. And so, Father, I pray that your sweet presence will come and minister to every person that needs your love today. And Father, I do pray for those that are lost and on their way to an eternity without Jesus. Show us truly how to rescue the perishing before it's too late. May the Holy Spirit, who inspired the words to be written, it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. May that Holy Spirit draw men to Jesus, even today. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, I think we have something a little special for the music.
Your breath.
For those of you that weren't here before, that's my granddaughter Hannah. And that's in their church in Australia. Of course, now she's in Tulsa in college, second year in college. And I'm glad she got her mama's looks and her mom and her daddy's voice and none of mine. She's recorded a couple of songs and supposed to be recording some more for us to use on an occasion now and then. Let's go back to 1 John, and we're in chapter 5 today. 1 John chapter 5. We want to read the first five verses of that chapter. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? True, real, biblical Christianity always comes down to this. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? When somebody knocks on your door and says, I'd like to come in and talk to you, ask them, what do they believe about Jesus? And if they can't give you the correct answer about what they believe about Jesus, I wouldn't let them in the door. In fact, when you shut the door, you might calmly say, I'm sorry, but you're probably going to go to hell. I mean, say it kindly. Don't say it viciously or hatefully. Because it all comes down to, what do we believe about Jesus? If you were to take a survey around the world, you'd have some people who say, well, I've never heard of Jesus. Who's this Jesus you're talking about? And then you'd find some others who, most of these who are educated beyond their intelligence, who would say there never was a Jesus of Nazareth. It's all a made-up story, just like Shakespeare made up his stories and other fiction writers made up their stories. It all was made up. There really was never a Jesus. And then you'll find a few others that say, well, Jesus really lived, but he was sort of some deluded little local guy that didn't really know what he was talking about. He pretended to be some great religious leader, but he really wasn't much. And then there are others that say, well, you know, Jesus was a good man. He did some good things, but he was not a miracle worker. All of those miracles and a lot of what you read in the Bible, Jesus didn't say and didn't do. I don't know whether it's still going on or not. Mr. Jim might could tell us. A number of years ago, there was something called the Jesus Project in California. And these scholars would get together and they'd discuss something that it would be in red in your Bible. If you have a Bible that's a red letter edition. And they'd discuss, did Jesus say that? Did he might have said that? Or did the disciples make it up? And then all of them would put a marble, you know, red for, maybe red for yes, he said it, blue for maybe he didn't say it, black for the disciples made it up. And then they'd vote on whether Jesus really said anything or not. Wrong way to approach your Bible, but that's what these scholars were doing. And then there's some groups that say Jesus was a great man, but that's it. In other words, you have the Father, but Jesus is down here somewhere below that. And finally, there's the biblical position, which is what John says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It comes down to that. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? And Christ can be also translated Messiah. It also can be God's anointed one. And the last phrase of verse 5, Jesus is the Son of God. What do we believe about Jesus? It all comes down to that. Those who believe that Jesus is God's anointed Messiah, that he's the Son of God, that he's the third person of the Trinity, are born of God. In other words, they're saved and they're going to heaven. Folks that don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Son of God, are not going to heaven. It doesn't matter what else they believe about Jesus, good man, prophet, whatever, unless they really believe as Jesus as the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, they're not going to heaven. And what does he tell us here? He says, born again folks, love the Father, love Jesus, love the Holy Spirit, and love other believers. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. He said it all comes down, if you really are born again, you're going to love the Father, you're going to love the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you're going to love other believers. Turn with me, keep your place here, we'll come back to it, but turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. In other words, when Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment? He said, you're going to love God with all that's in you, and you're going to love other people. You're going to love God with all that's in you, and you're going to love other people. People that are filled with hate and rage and prejudice and bias have a spiritual problem. I won't say that they're all lost, but we have a spiritual problem. I don't agree with every denomination and every doctrine that's out there, but do they know Jesus? Do they have a personal relationship with Jesus? And we looked in previous verses and before we got here in 1 John. It says, if I love my brother and I have an opportunity, I'm going to bless him. If he's hungry, I'm going to feed him. If he needs clothes, I'm going to give it to him. You remember in Matthew 25, when the two groups, the sheep and the goats, were separated. And one group said, well, why are we over here? And the other group said, why are we over here? And Jesus said, I was sick, in prison, you visited me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I had a need, you came to me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we see you do that? He said, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And the other group said, well, now, wait a minute. Why are we separated over here? He said, well, I was sick and hungry, and you didn't feed me, and you didn't come to visit me, and I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I had needs, and you didn't meet them. And they said, well, Lord, when do we see you in that position? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. So, Jesus says, a true sign of our being born again is what do we believe about Jesus? And do we love the Father? Do we love the Son? Do we love the Holy Spirit? Do we love other believers in such a way that we demonstrate it? And depending on our background, sometimes it's a slow learning process, but are we learning and growing? I think about, a couple of weeks ago when I went to Oklahoma, going to church on Sunday morning, one of the first persons that I hugged was a little black lady. She's almost as round as she's tall. But she has a beautiful personality, and she's from Eastern North Carolina. And she comes bubbling up, and we talk about cheer wine. And I ask her when she's been to North Carolina, and she's just got the love of Jesus all over her. Well, I didn't grow up around any black folks. When I went to school in Albemarle, it was totally white. But I've learned, there's some black folks that love Jesus, and I love them because they love Jesus. It was a learning process, but she's precious. She's precious. My best friends in Oklahoma used to live in South Carolina. They were the first couple, white couple in South Carolina, to adopt a black baby. They were the first white couple in South Carolina to adopt a black baby. And those kids are, they're grown now. And those kids are precious because mom and dad love Jesus and they love those kids that had a need. He says, you're going to love your brothers and sisters. And then he goes on to say, in the last of verse 2, when we love God, we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now this separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. Are God's commandments grievous to us, or are they a joy to do? It's a good thought. Again, it's a learning process. And sometimes we may not understand some of God's commandments, but when we learn them, when we see them in the Bible, it becomes easy to do over a period of time. I think about it in the terms of, first, like a marriage. When Pamela was alive and we were at the house, if I got up and started into the kitchen and to get a glass of water or a glass of juice of some kind, and she said, would you mind getting me a glass? I didn't say, listen, you're an adult, get up and get it yourself. No, I gladly got it for her. Or she would have gladly gotten it for me. It wasn't a struggle. Again, I've always been a morning person, and she never got out of first gear or whatever's below first gear in the morning. And I learned after she became a teacher assistant and a teacher that if she's going to make it to work, Ed was going to fix breakfast and Ed was going to pack her lunch. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. In fact, it was always fun to, because I never fixed the same thing every morning and sit down and she said, how did you know I wanted oatmeal? Or how did you know I wanted a scrambled egg today? I was just doing something to please her. It wasn't a chore. It was a joy. He says, when we really love God, his commandments aren't a chore. They're a joy. They're a joy to do. Now, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And on the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I know that, hey, it's Sunday. I need to be in the Lord's house. Let me be, you know, I'm truthful. There's three or four Sundays a year when I don't feel that great, or when the weather outside is really, really nasty. And I think, if I weren't the preacher, I might just turn over and go back to bed. But the other 48, 49 Sundays a year, Jeff's the only one that beats me here. I think he must sleep over here on Saturday night. I'm not sure. But it's a joy to come and worship the Lord and to sing his praises and to fellowship with you, my brothers and sisters. It's not a burden. It's a joy. I thought, you know, when I retired and moved to Oklahoma, I wouldn't go to church as much. And I found out I went to church more out there than I did when I was the pastor. I mean, they had Sunday morning service, Sunday night services, Monday noon prayer, Tuesday and Thursday Bible study, Wednesday noon prayer, Wednesday night prayer service. How many times a day was I going to church? A lot. And enjoyed every minute of it. Enjoyed every minute of it. It's not grievous to serve the Lord when you love him. I know some people, and you say, well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to feel that way. No, it doesn't say, if you're the preacher, you'll keep God's commandments and they're not hard for you. No, it just says for everybody. I wish I could convey into your spirit the joy I get when the Lord says, here's a ministry that's winning people to Jesus, and I can sit down and write them a check. There's a couple that's in they're in Tulsa, but they do ministry in Pakistan and India. And every month I try to send them a little money. And they do humongous crusades where they have like 100,000 people show up. But because the people are poor, they rent buses in this little village and bring them, and this little village and bring them. And usually if they're struggling, they'll say, we need $100 for another per bus for some more buses. And to think, I can send them $100 and 50 or 60 people from a village come in and probably half of them get saved. Hallelujah. It's not grievous to serve the Lord. And if it's grievous to it, then we need to think, am I really saved or do I really love Jesus? It's not grievous, he said, to serve the Lord. And then in verses 4 and 5, very encouraging. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, there's always going to be challenges in life. You're going to be tempted to sin. The devil, the world, the flesh, they're going to tempt you to sin. I dare say some of us will be tempted to sin before we get home today. Somebody will pull out in front of us. Or the devil will put a thought in our mind and we'll be tempted to sin. We're going to have challenges because of sickness. Very few people are born, live 80, 90 years and die without having some kind of sicknesses, accidents, disease. There'll be challenges. I guarantee you most of us are going to have some relationship problems. Somebody's going to be ugly to you. Somebody's going to be hateful to you. Hey, I worked retail at the curb market. I dare say that sometimes Lori wishes she had a ball bat and she wishes she'd pop somebody upside of the head. Because there are people that'll be ugly to you. You know how it goes. Jerry over at the funeral home, you know, he and I talked about some of the experiences we've been through. And you know, you walk in and the funeral guys are talking, saying, last night after the visitation, the kids got into a knockdown, drag out, face slapping, hair pulling, shin kicking fuss. And right here in the funeral home, and you think, and I got to preach this funeral? I got to see if I can referee this family? There's going to be some challenges. And we're all going to have them. And unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, most of us at one time or other are going to have some financial challenges. But he says, listen, you can overcome the world. How? If you're saved and you live in faith. If you're saved and live in faith, you can overcome the world. Let's look at two passages of Scripture. Mark 11. Mark 11. And then we'll go back to Luke again. Mark 11, 23 and 24. For verily I, well, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I didn't make that up. Jesus said that, and it's in red in your Bible. He said you can have mountain-destroying, mountain-moving, mountain-overcoming faith and in the work in your life. That you can deal with the difficulties that you face in the power of God. He says, faith moves mountains. Now, Luke 18, verse 8, asks a real serious question. Middle of the verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? How much faith do we really have? Are we overcoming mountains? Are we overcomers? Or are we defeated because of our faith or lack of faith? Jesus said, when I return, how much faith am I going to see? If you read through the book of Acts and read Paul's letters, so often the Christians are called believers. But how often today should we be called doubters? Well, I doubt God will save that person, and I doubt God will ever bring that person back to Jesus, and I doubt our church will ever grow, and I doubt things are going to get better in society, and I doubt politics are going to get any better, and I doubt I'll ever get ahead financially, and I doubt I'll ever get over this sickness, and I doubt my kids will ever come to Jesus, and I doubt, where's our faith? Where's our faith? And the more doubt we pour in, it's like being in quicksand, the harder it is to get out. And the more faith we build in, it's like climbing up on solid ground and then getting on a solid rock. It's those who walk in faith who walk in victory. And that's what John is telling us. Whosoever, verse 4, is born of God, overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth is that Jesus is the Son of God. What did we look at in verse 4 of chapter 4? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If we believe that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, lives within us, he's more powerful than any devil in hell. He's more powerful than any temptation. He's more powerful than any problem. If I truly believe that and I stand on that, then I can become an overcomer. Now, word of caution. The devil will see if you mean business. There was a guy who was, I think he was a nightclub singer in Vegas. Got saved, began to believe the things of God. Eventually became a part of a church and started a church. And he began to ask people to come down and said, we'll pray for you to get healed. You know what his testimony was? He said, for 6 months, nobody got healed and we caught their flu. But he said, we didn't quit. And eventually the power of God began to flow. It's like facing a bully. If a bully comes up to you, like on the playground at school, and tries to bully you, and you back up, he'll back you all the way across the playground. And the devil will do that if we keep backing up on our faith. But if we say, what did Martin Luther say? Here I stand, I can do no other. If we take the stand, I stand on the word of God. I stand on the promises of God. I will not change. Then eventually, the devil will give up. It took three shots. He took three shots at Jesus. If you remember the temptations of Jesus. But every time he failed. And finally it says, he just said, I'm out of here. Now he came back later, and the devil will come back later, but you can be an overcomer, and I can be an overcomer. One of our problems, just occurs to me, is that we start with the mountains. I remember 40 years ago seeing one of those little refrigerator magnets that said, he who moves mountains started with the molehills. Most of the time we say, I can handle this. That's not a big problem. I can handle that. I'll find a way through this. And we wait till the doctor says, you've got stage 4 cancer. And then we struggle. When if we started off, you know, I got a little headache. Lord, I believe in the power of God to heal me. Or whatever little problem it is. And if we start with the little problems and get to the bigger problems and the bigger problems, if the doctor comes in and gives you a bad report, you've got a background to deal with it. Back 100 years ago when I wanted to get in shape, I bought the Royal Canadian Air Force plan. Anybody ever try that one? And first day, it's like one jumping jack, one sit up. Think, you got to be kidding. Well, the next day you double it. Well, that's no big deal. By the time you get to be about the 10th or 15th day, and you're supposed to start being doing 30 or 40 sit-ups and running a mile or whatever, you're saying, hey, this isn't as easy as I thought. But they started you small. They started you small. Is that pretty much the way it was? Yeah. They started you small, and you moved on up. I like these five verses because they tell us how to be guaranteed of our salvation. We've got to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. They encourage us to love God. They encourage us to obey the Lord. And they encourage us to be overcomers. That's what's available to you and me as children of God. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just one moment? If Jesus and you were back in the pastor's study, and it's just the two of us, two of you, would he call your name and say, you're a believer? Or would he say, I hate to tell you this, but you're a doubter? And believe me, I've been both. I pray that if we're honest with ourselves, if we have to admit we'd be doubters and not believers, we'd confess that right now and say, Lord, forgive me for my doubt. For doubt and unbelief is sin. And Lord, like the disciples, I cry out, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Father, I pray for Barbers Grove Baptist Church that we be a people of believers, strong believers in the Word of God, strong in our relationship with Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, strong in our love for one another, and joyously obeying the commandments of our Lord. Is there anyone that needs head still bowed, eyes closed? Anyone needs to come to the altar or come share anything with me if you'll come quickly? Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. And we thank you for leading our music today.